One day a very, very rich man died, and he was met at the gates of heaven by none other than St. Peter himself. And Peter asked the man, "Are you ready for a tour of the heaven of your heavenly home?" And the rich man, with his eyes filled with awe and wonder, enthusiastically replied, "Yes, yes, let's go." And so St. Peter took him around through the gates on a winding path, of course, paved with gold, and led him into a neighborhood filled with extravagant mansions. And along the way, the man saw one particularly beautiful mansion on a hill, and he asked St. Peter, "Is that my house?" And St. Peter responded, "No, sir, actually, that's your maid's house." And the man thought to himself, "Well, if that's my maid's house, well, then this is looking good." And so they turned the corner, and the rich man saw yet a more extravagant house than the last, bigger and better even. And he asked again, "Is that my house?" To which the saint replied, "No, sir, actually, that's your limo driver's house." And amazed at the size and the splendor of these two heavenly homes, the rich man was filled with excitement. What he thought that his own home was going to look like. And then they turned the corner and pulled up at a small old rundown swamp shack. And the saint says to the man, "Well, sir, here we are. Your home in heaven for all of eternity." And the man's jaw dropped in disappointment and confusion and then a little bit of frustration. "This is my house, are you sure? I mean, we passed those other houses for my maid and for my limo driver, and they were like huge. So now this is my house, this little swamp shack? There must be a mistake." And with all of the poise and the grace that the saint could muster, he said, "Please forgive us, sir, but we did the very best we could with what you sent ahead." Today we heard Jesus remind us that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. According to Jesus, our decisions and our actions in this life have consequences that transcend our own mortality and carry forward into the life to come. What we do here on this earth matters and connects us to our experience of eternity. If during the whole totality of this precious gift of life, we persistently hold onto things tightly and greedily and grudgingly, well then, guess what? We become the sort of people who hold on to things tightly and greedily and grudgingly, and that does not simply stop when we die. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And then the opposite is true, Jesus tells us. The more we let go of things, the more we become the sort of people who are not ruled or bound or constricted by them, the more loosely we hold things, well, then the freer we actually become. I once heard a story about a diamond mine in Africa that was having a terrible theft problem. It came as a great surprise to the mine's owners because, as you might well imagine, diamond mines are carefully scrutinized and regulated, tightly secured. There's security all over the place. And sure enough, when they began to investigate, the diamond mine owners realized that it couldn't possibly be any of the workers who were working in the mines. There was no way. There was just too much scrutiny. They couldn't have made it. And then they realized just who the culprits were. Local monkeys. As you know or imagine, many diamond mines are located in countries or regions where there are large monkey populations. And so, in addition, it seems, to being extremely, incredibly intelligent, monkeys, apparently, also have a fondness for, you know, bright objects, shiny objects. And the monkeys were sneaking into these mining camps, and they were helping themselves to the beautiful gems. Now, the mine owners tried several traps at first, and they all failed miserably. And then they debated whether they should set up snipers, and they ruled that out for fear of stray bullets whizzing around in the camp. Finally, an ingenious person came up with an idea for a trap. They put a small pile of especially bright and shiny objects inside of a box and cut a tiny little hole in one side of it, just just large enough to see inside, but not too big. And the curious monkeys would see the box, and they would check out the amazing and bright, glittery, shiny objects inside of it, and they would reach down their hands into the box to grab them. And then when they went to remove their hands, the hole in the side of the box was not big enough to remove their clenched fist while they were holding what they were trying to steal. The monkey was then faced with a choice, a dilemma, as it were. It could escape to freedom simply by letting go of the little trinket, the shiny object inside of the box. All it had to do was let go of its, loosen its grip, and its hand would have easily slid right outside. But the monkey was always consistently immobilized by its unwillingness to let go of that bright, shiny object. It had every chance to free itself simply by releasing and opening its hand, letting go of the object, but it wouldn't do it. And so, every single time, the monkey was ensnared. Now, we may like to think that we're a whole lot smarter than monkeys, but I'm not sure that we are all that better of letting loose of the things that bind us and trap us. Jesus says that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And this has to do with money and possessions, of course, because Jesus teaches us again and again and again that our relationship with money is a major spiritual litmus test, that what we do with our money reveals just how faithful and generous and obedient we really actually are. We do a whole lot of binding on ourselves when we spend the overwhelming majority of our own wealth on ourselves rather than setting ourselves loose by giving the great majority of our wealth away. But the truth of this teaching by Jesus has to do with far more than just money. It has to do with all sorts and manner of aspects of life whenever we can either be bound or set loose. It's a teaching about forgiveness. Jesus is explicit in the gospel in his connection with forgiveness. Whether or not we will let go of the old hurts that we stubbornly carry around in our spiritual pockets. We like to pull them out every now and then and look at them and pet them and make sure they're still there and then tuck them safely back into our pockets again. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus teaches us to pray because he knows that it is possible to stay bound up by our old wounds, bound up and prevented from accessing the forgiveness of God by our stubborn refusal to forgive others. If we want our own sins to be loosed by God, then it turns out we have to be willing to let loose of the sins that others have committed against us. That's just the way it works. It's a teaching also about worry and anxiety, and the way that we carry around our fears inside of us until we weave a sort of suffocating web around us with them, strangling and constricting and binding us. We can become so habituated to worry and fear that they will come to dominate everything about our lives. Even though letting go of fear and worry is something Jesus calls us to again and again, something he desperately wants to loose us from. And it's a teaching about compassion. Compassion for those who are hurting, for those who are vulnerable, for those who are desperate. In Luke's gospel, Jesus tells the parable of a homeless man, a beggar, sitting outside the gate of another fabulously wealthy rich man. And in that particular parable, it's the rich man's callousness and neglect that form a sort of chasm in his afterlife between him and the heavenly comfort that God offers to the poor beggar. And the man, the rich man, created this chasm by the way that he lived his life, by his choices and by his actions, by his prejudices and by all of his preconceived notions. He created that chasm, Jesus says, not God. He created the binds that wound around him after his death. And what he bound stays bound. God has given us the power to hold on or to let go, to bind and to loose. And we must not neglect to understand the full seriousness of this power. Our choices and our actions demonstrate who we are today, and they also affect who we are in the process of becoming. They demonstrate to us how God's grace and love are already in the process of acting upon us, and they are also part of the way we are molded and shaped in a way that transcends and surpasses and stretches into our life beyond our own time on earth. With all that is happening in the world these days, every single day we are given enormous and defining moments to show how we take our faith seriously. How we understand that what we do here on earth ripples throughout eternity. I want to read to you something that Glennon Doyle posted yesterday. Glennon, as hopefully by now you know, is coming to Dallas in just a couple of weeks' time, co-sponsored by us and by First Methodist. She'll be here to talk to us about compassion, and it will be our privilege to host the event. Just so happens that she lives in South Florida, right in the path of Irma. And she wrote this yesterday after evacuating to safety. On Tuesday, we packed our home, put the things we love most in watertight containers, gathered up the kids, and left. In that kind of sad, frantic process, you learn what you really value. My containers were filled with letters to me from my babies, my parents, my sister, and Abby. Abby's containers had a lot of shoes in them, but to be fair, she has better shoes than I do. Irma is going to hit Florida tonight, and by all accounts, it's going to be bad. People will get hurt. Some might die. Homes built out of love and sacrifice will be destroyed. The waters will rise. And it will also be good. People will help each other. Doctors and nurses will risk their own lives to heal their neighbors. First responders from all over the country will rush toward the destruction in order to save strangers. People will be gentle with each other and feed one another at shelters and hold one another's babies and cry together. Folks will be especially tender with children and the elderly. Nobody but nobody will ask each other about politics. None of that will matter in the wake of Irma. You'll see. We will remember that we belong to each other. It will be terrible, and it will be beautiful. Florida, the waters will rise, and so will we. We can choose to be bound in this life and in the next by our attachments to all of our stuff, by our worries, by our old prejudices, by our old grudges. We can be bound up in so many ways, or we can, like Glennon, experience the holy and cascading effects of letting go. So I wonder today what you are holding on to so tightly that it is actually binding you and trapping you. What are you holding on to that has become the binds that hold you back from more fully experiencing the loving presence of God? Don't be a monkey, dear friends. Don't pull up to some sort of eternal swamp shack to find out that all of the grasping and accumulating and holding fast that you did in your life did little more than to make your spirit poor. Don't spend your whole life accumulating and holding fast only to discover that you have become impoverished. Go ahead and do some unbinding and some letting loose. Because you see, heaven is following your lead. And all of God's people said,